Oh, man. We're going to have a great service today. Would you guys please make some noise for our lead pastor, Eddie Vargas?
Hey, good morning, everyone. Happy Father's Day. Can I have all the dads stand to their feet? What's up, girl? Can I have all the dads just stand to your feet, all the fathers in the house? Come on, can we make some noise for the dads? Stay standing to your feet. I just want to pray over you right now. Father, I just thank you, God, for these men. These are sons. These are fathers. These are men that you have called to be a leader in their house, God. A man that you have designed a very specific to resemble who you are to us, Lord God. I just pray over their lives. I speak life over all of them. I speak blessing and favor over all of them. And I just pray that you bless them today, God. I pray that as they eat, they will not become full, that they can continue to eat as much as they want today. In Jesus' mighty name, everyone said? Amen. Amen. Come on, give the Lord a big hand of praise. Say thank you. Wow, happy Father's Day. It's a different kind of day. It's not like as important as Mother's Day, but it's almost there. It's almost, it's like I feel that way as a dad. It's like moms are just like up here, dads are like right underneath. But it's good to be here with you today. I hope that you get to celebrate your dads today. And for those of you that don't have your dads around you today, that you enjoy a wonderful memory of your father. And for those of you that might not have known who your dad is, you just know that you have a heavenly father that loves you. That cares for you, and he loves you to death. In fact, he loved you so much that he was willing to go on the cross so that you could spend eternity with him forever and ever. And so just know that you have a good, good father in heaven that loves you. And today, as we think about Father's Day, we've entitled today Kingsmen, because as sons and daughters of the King of Kings, we live in what we call a kingdom. It's a realm, a spiritual realm, that we live both naturally and supernaturally in. And so our King, our King of Kings, is Jesus. And I believe that God has called the dads in this house to be King's men. And by being King's men, meaning not that they're secret agents, but even beyond that, that they're men that resemble and function like the King does. And when I think about Father's Day, I think about a day when children celebrate dads and try to make them feel as special as they can on that day. You know, usually the dads get clowned on, but today, dads are going to get honored. Dads are going to be, you know, treated special, hopefully. You know, today's the day that, you know, we buy them tools that they'll never use. Right, you ever bought like your dad a screwdriver? It's like the 10th screwdriver that he has. Or you'll get him a gift card to Home Depot. Or maybe we might even go as far as barbecuing for them. I hope you're getting barbecue today, guys. But sometimes you get the ugliest ties that you'll never wear. Like very, very specific, ugly, rotten, nasty ties that you'll never wear. But they're very special to you, and so you'll never throw them away. They're hung up in your closet. Like I had this Mickey Mouse tie, I don't know, like for 30, almost 20 something years in my, and I wanted to throw it away for such a long time because I didn't want to wear it, but it meant so much to me because my kids gave it to me. And there's something about what your kids do for you and what your kids give you that the actual gift doesn't matter. It's who it came from that matters. It's the heart that it comes from that matters. And so today I want to talk about being a kingsman father, a father that resembles and acts and reacts the way our King Jesus would in our lives. And as I think about that today, you know, I want to be a little bit transparent because today, you know, Father's Day is kind of weird for me because I don't know about you. How many of you grew up in a broken household? Your mom and dad weren't together all of you know, maybe not still together. Maybe a lot of us did. And for those of you that still have your mom and dad together, praise God for that. Thank God for that. But I didn't get to grow up in a Christian household. I didn't get to grow up in a household where I would grow and learn from my dad how to be a godly father. In fact, probably the only things that I learned from my dad, if I can remember best, is my dad was a phenomenal businessman. He was an entrepreneur. He was a genius when it came to mechanics and things of that nature, making money. And his work ethic was unbelievable. So I'd like to believe that a lot of the good things that I gleaned from my dad were things that would help me become a good father in my own family. But there are also bad things that I think I gleaned from my dad that I didn't want to take with me into my family. And it just happens naturally because you're in that environment. And so the sad part for me is that it was on a Father's Day that my father actually left our family. It was actually on a day just like this that he decided to walk out on our family when I was 15 years old. And of course, my mom and my dad got separated. And so as I went on through life and I ended up meeting, you know, the most beautiful woman that ever walked the face of this planet and got married to her, I started to get a little bit freaked out. I don't know about you, but there are two very scary things that happen in a man's life, and one of them is getting married. It's a very scary thing. It's like almost terror. No, just kidding. It's scary, but exciting at the same time. What was even more scary for me was being a dad. It was being a dad because being a dad for me meant that I was going to have to be responsible for another life. And this life was in my care. Not only was I going to have to be responsible for them, but they were going to need something from me that I didn't know that I could provide for them. And so I remember getting married. I just turned 21. And I remember 6 months after we got married, it was on my birthday on December 14th. I got a little envelope that said that we are pregnant, or happy birthday. And I opened it up, and it was a pregnancy test. And I was like, I don't know how to read this. How do you read this? What does this mean? And she says, I'm pregnant. And I'm like, and at the same time, I was both excited and like anxious and a little bit afraid, because I already was learning how to be responsible over myself and now learning how to be a husband. Now I needed to be a father, and I didn't know how to do that. I didn't know how to do that well. I didn't have a great example of how to be that to my own children. And so that made me a bit afraid. And if I'm just being open and I'm just being honest with you guys, I didn't know how to be a good dad. I didn't know how a godly father should act or react. I didn't know how I was supposed to treat them. I know that I'm supposed to work. I know that I'm supposed to provide. I know that I'm supposed to make the money. That was already kind of like ingrained into me. But I don't have a lot of fond memories of a father and a child building a strong relationship together. And so that made me a little bit freaked out. And so as I started to think about this, I started to think about, you know, I don't want to be the kind of dad that my dad was to me. I want to be a good father. I want to be a good dad. Does anybody want to be a good dad in this place? I think we all want to be good dads. I think we all want to be great dads. I think our heart's desire is to be that. But how do you be that when you don't have a good example, you know, in front of you? And so, you know, I remember saying to myself, man, I don't have a dad. I don't have a dad that I can learn from, that I can glean from. And I remember very clearly hearing God say, I'm your father. I am your father. And even though that made me feel really good and it brought a lot of peace to me, it kind of freaked me out even a little bit more, because I started thinking, I can't live up to being that kind of a dad. And so, because I think that a father in my eyes does so much more than invest a little bit of DNA In my eyes, a dad is so much more than that. It's somebody that's going to do a whole lot more than just invest a little bit of DNA. And I heard God say, I am your dad. I am your father. And if I'm going to be a godly father, then that means I'm going to have to resemble who God the Father is in my own personal life. And I thank God that I had a pastor in my life who is like a spiritual father to me today and was also teaching me how to be a godly father. And so I'd watch the way that he would teach his kids and the way that he would treat his kids, the way that he would love his kids and discipline his kids. And I started to learn from there because that's the only real model that I had in my life. But I just want to remind you that if you're here today, that if you're saved, that if you're born again, I want you to know that you have a good Father in heaven that loves you and cares for you and provides for you and will never leave you or never forsake you. In fact, I read this portion of Scripture and it just blessed me. It's out of Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. It says this. It says, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. You are all one in Christ. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. And so what Paul is writing the church in this letter, he's saying, listen, you belong to God. You belong to God. You are part of the family of God. And in chapter 4, verse 1, he continues to say, now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ from a slave, though he is master of all, but is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the Father. Even so, we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, and girls are included in that, you are daughters, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, come on, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ Jesus. So not only have I been delivered out of the darkness of my sin, but I've been brought into his beautiful and marvelous light, and I've been made part of the family of God. And because I belong to this family, now I have an inheritance because I am a son, because you are a daughter. You are no longer a slave to sin, but you are free in Christ Jesus. And with that freedom comes a lot of promises that are made to the sons and daughters of God. You have an inheritance as a family of Jesus Christ. And it's so exciting to know that I am part of a family. I know that God has got a plan to change, to challenge, and to choose. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, it says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. I'm here to tell you that God's got a plan for your life. He's chosen you. He's got purpose for you. And because you are sons and daughters, there's an inheritance that is attached to this. And I believe that as we live as sons and daughters of God, specifically today because of today's Father's Day, I'm going to talk to the dads. I believe that there are five things that a godly father or a kingsman father does. If you're writing these down, just write these down. I'm not going to keep you very long. I just want to deposit these things into you. And just pray that you have an amazing day in Jesus' name. Number one, a kingsman father is a provider. Everybody say provider. In the Old Testament, God is known as Jehovah Jireh. Jireh meaning our provider. Jehovah Jireh is our provider. And if we are going to be an example of godliness in our homes, we know and understand that for the men, the provision or the provider label has been put on us. But how many know in the day and age that we live in, there usually is more than one income in the house now. It's just not the father that works, but today a lot of the moms work. Can any mom say amen to that? And so there is this corporate provision that's being made for the house. But when I say provider, I'm not just talking about something that's monetary. Because when I think about being provided for, immediately what I think is rent, what I think is food, what I think is insurance, right? These are the things that we think about, clothing and shoes. And in today's day and age, you know, cellular data, you know, you're providing that amongst other things. But when we think provider, we always think something that is attached to something that is financial. I want you to know that it is the father's responsibility to go above and beyond just being a financial provider in the home. In Luke chapter 11, verse 11 through 13, I want to show you something really quick. The Bible says, this is Jesus, which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will he give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? God the Father provides us with his Holy Spirit, whom Jesus said would clothe us with power. That power would help us accomplish all that God created us to fulfill as sons and daughters of God. Not only a power or a strength to accomplish it, but the giftings to function with and to help us do what he's called us to do. So one of the things that I want you to hear in this portion of Scripture is that God our Father provides us with his presence and with his power in order for us to fulfill our calling in life. I believe that it is the responsibility of the father, you and I, the dad, to provide our children with God's presence, come on, and with God's power in order for them to grow up and to become all that God wants them to be and experience as they experience his presence throughout the household. I'm here to tell you that it is the father's responsibility to establish the presence of God in the house. God the Father gives us his presence, and with his presence comes his power. It is our responsibility to create an atmosphere, if you will, where our children will experience the presence and the power of our Father, which is in heaven. What an amazing promise God makes to us, and we in turn must also make that promise to our children, that when they are around us, that when we are around them, they can also experience the presence and the power of God, because God is in us. Can anybody say amen to that? Where two or three are gathered, what does the Bible say? He is in the midst of them. And so I'm here to tell you, dads, that it is your responsibility to establish the presence and the power of God in your house. And that your children should be able to see that in your life. Matthew 6:30 and 33, the Bible says, "Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?" He's saying those things aren't the most important things. Don't worry about those things. God's going to provide. He's your provider. He's going to take care of you. If he feeds the birds of the air, he's going to feed you. If he takes care of nature, he's going to take care of you. Don't worry what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But watch what he says. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So as long as you pursue staying right with God, all those things are naturally going to fall into place, and they're all going to be there. But your number one priority is going to be to pursue the presence and the power and the kingdom of God in your lives. And so God the Father provides this for us. He provides a life that pursues the kingdom and the will of God for his life. And that is our responsibility, I believe, as dads, that our children see us pursuing the kingdom of God first. Can I get an amen from anybody here? I think it's important for us to illustrate that to our children. I think it's important for our children to see that the most important thing in our lives is not where we make our finances. That the most important thing in our lives is not the vacations that we get to go on. That the most important thing in our lives is not the property that we own or the clothes that we wear or the kind of food that we eat. But that we show them that the most important thing to us is pursuing God's presence and God's power and God's will and God's purpose. Let them see that in your life. Let them see you pursue Jesus with everything that you have within you. Let them see you pursue God even when times get tough. Let them see you pursue God even when everybody else around you has turned their back and backslid. Let them see you worship God and pray to God and go after the will of God even though it doesn't seem like the best thing to do in that moment. Let them learn from you that the most important thing to you is not something that you put in your bank account, but it's something that you do for the rest of your life as a son, as a daughter, as an heir of the kingdom of heaven. Let them see that through your life. That's what they'll remember. That's the kind of inheritance that we want to leave to our children and to our children's children. And I may not have a whole lot of finances to leave them, but I could leave you Jesus. I could leave you a relationship with God. I can leave a testimony that said I wasn't willing to withdraw, or draw back, or stop pursuing what God had called me to do, no matter what the conflict was or the trial was or the situation. Let them see you pursue God wholeheartedly. Let them see you go after the things of God. Let them watch you fight and struggle for the presence of God in your life, because God's promised you his presence. And with his presence comes that power. And with that power comes the giftings and the anointings and everything that you and I need to fulfill what God has created us to do in this life. Don't worry about what you'll eat. Don't worry about what you'll wear. Don't worry about the property or the car. Don't worry about the rents and the leases and the insurance. Don't worry about that stuff. As long as you seek the kingdom of God first, all that stuff will fall into place. And let them see you pursue God first with that. We're also here to provide more than just monetary gain for them. We're here to also provide the presence of the power of God, but we're also here to provide encouragement for our children. Can you say amen to that? Because how many know our kids are going to mess up? Right? And I know some of you are like, man, I never taught my kid to be this way. Well, they got your DNA. Apple usually doesn't fall too far from the tree. And sometimes I think that when we get saved, we get a little bit too dignified and we forget what we were like before we met Jesus. Right? We get a little bit judgmental on our kids. I think a little bit too much. I mean, I know we want the best, and I know we challenge the best, and I know that we call out the best. But I think if some of us remember what we were like when we were that age, I think your kid is a really good kid in comparison. Just maybe. I'm just saying. We're there to provide encouragement to our children when they fail and they're struck down by failure, because they will fail. And you know what? Failure is not futile. Failure is something that God allows us to experience so that we can grow from that failure, so that we can learn from that failure, so that we never have to repeat that failure. If you don't fail, you're never really going to learn. You have to fail, but fail forward. And when your child fails, when your son fails, when your daughter fails, don't get on them and judge them for it, but encourage them through that. Let them grow through it, not just go through it, but let them grow through it. And be the one that's there saying, come on, you can get back up. Come on, you can do this again. Come on, try it over. Try. If you didn't make it the first time, do it again and do it again and do it again until you actually be that cheerleader for them. Somebody once said, my father gave me the greatest gift anyone could ever give another person. He believed in me. He believed in me. Be an encourager to your children, even when you don't feel like encouraging them. Even when you want to give them the chancla, give them an encouragement. You know what I mean? You know, I think sometimes as parents, if we could just be real this morning, I think sometimes we bark a little bit too much. Come on. I think we bark a little bit too much. They mess up and we're just ready just to bark on them, man. Be an encouragement. Be an encouragement. I don't know what it is, and I don't know why, but sometimes we find ourselves being more of an encouragement to people that we don't know than to the very people that we know and live with us. Show your children that you believe in them and that all things are possible through Christ. That strengthens us. And so a father is a provider, and he provides so much more than anything that's monetary. Number two, a kinsman father is a teacher. Proverbs 4, 1 through 6 says, hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Do not forsake my law. When I was my father's son, tender and the only one in the sight of my mother, he also taught me and said to me, let your heart retain my words. Keep my commands and live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Don't forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. A father is there to teach. Dads, it's not only the wife's responsibility to teach them in the house. It's not only the Sunday school teacher's responsibility to teach them the word. In fact, the word of God puts the priesthood of the house and the teaching of God's word as a responsibility on the father. On the father. Someone once said, a father is neither an anchor to hold us back nor a sail to take us there, but a guiding light whose love shows us the way. It is our responsibility to show our children the ways of the Lord. Train up a child in the way that they should go, so that when they are older, the Bible says, they will not depart. But sometimes we have to shift from being a teacher to being a disciplinarian. Oh, just wait until your father gets home. How many of you have ever said that? Raise your hand quickly. Quickly, quick. Come on. Will you just wait? Till your papa gets home. I've heard those words. But sometimes dads are called to be the disciplinarians. I know moms take care of business. In fact, it's funny because I was talking to Justine and Christian the other time. They have this ongoing thing that when Roxanne would discipline them, they would pretend like they would be crying because it didn't hurt. They're like, no, mom's hands, it just did it. But dad, ooh, you got banana hands. You got the big gloves on his hand, those big mittens. That dad hurt. That, you know, they remembered that. But dads are called sometimes to be the disciplinarian. You know, I've heard older folks talking about being taken out to the woodshed. Has anybody ever heard that term? Being taken out to the woodshed? Or how about you being made to pick out your own switch? Now, white people and Latinos don't know anything about that. For those of you that are not, who are not black, you'll find out that a switch isn't something that you go into a room and turn on and turn off. A switch is a branch that your mom or your grandma or your auntie made you go out and pick out from the tree that you were going to get disciplined with. And if you thought you were slick and got a real skinny one, you just made it that much more aerodynamic. Now, Latinos, we don't know about the switch, but we do know about belts, shoes, hands, fists, paddles, extension cords, hangers, spoons, hamburger flipper, spatula, mini Dodger bat, broom, and anything else you could get your hands on that was convenient at the time. We do know about that. And for others of you, for us, timeout wasn't being put in a corner. Timeout was us asking you to stop and give us a chance to breathe through the beating. But if we can be honest, 9 times out of 10, we deserved it. We had it coming. Why am I talking about that? I'm not talking about beating your child. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a disciplinary action is there to bring correction in love. A disciplinary action is there to bring correction in love. A correction that's going to change the direction or the trajectory that you're going in into the right direction that you should be going in so that you can fulfill and become what God created you to be. In fact, our Heavenly Father does discipline us from time to time. Proverbs 3:12 says, because the Lord disciplines those he loves as a father the son he delights in. And so sometimes we will be called upon as teachers to be disciplinarians. And I'm here to encourage you to discipline your children in love, not in anger. Because when you discipline them in anger, you go too far. But when you discipline them in love, one day they'll grow up to appreciate the discipline that you gave them. Proverbs 15:5 says, a fool despises his father's instruction, but he who receives correction is prudent. We need discipline in our lives. Can anybody say amen? We might not like it. We might not agree with it in the time that we are receiving it. But I'm here to tell you that discipline done the right way will put us back on the right path. Number 3, a kinsman father provides security. Everybody say security. Security. What is security all about? The father is the protector. The father is the one that protects. Dad should be looked upon as the protector. And dad should see themselves as the protector. And so how does a godly father protect his children? I believe that a father protects his children and his family from the schemes and the lies of the enemy by being very, very attentive to God's word and to praying over his family. I know that a lot of us might throw up our hands and go, well, that's it. They're going to live the way that they're going to live. They're going to do what they're going to do, and they're going to act the way they're going to act. But I'm here to tell you that there's nothing more powerful than a parent that prays for their child. In fact, let me say this to you. In fact, if my son is watching from Okinawa right now, let me say this to you right now. I believe wholeheartedly that there are things that my children should have experienced and they did not experience because they had a family and a house that was praying for them. I believe wholeheartedly that your children will come into a place of favor and blessing because of the covering that you put over them as a spiritual foundation. I believe that you will protect them from being hurt, maybe even killed, because you will stand in the gap and intercede on their behalf, even when they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing. There is a covering that comes over them, and I believe that there are a lot of things that our kids get to experience because of who their parents are in Christ. But there's going to come a day when they are going to need their own personal relationship with Jesus, and they are going to have to learn how to pray for themselves and seek God for themselves. But until then, God calls you and I to be their spiritual covering, to pray blessing and life and favor and protection over them. And so don't sit there and say, I can't do anything. Friend, you can do a whole lot if you'll just take a couple minutes to pray for your son, pray for your daughter, and just believe God. It might not look the way that you want it to look, but man, you don't know what God's doing in the supernatural when you lift their names to heaven. Pray for your kids. Man, I'd say my son should be dead by now if it wasn't for the prayers of his parents. If it wasn't for the prayers of the people that love him and cover him, even from our church, I know that my son is blessed and highly favored because of who prays for him. The Father protects. He's there to pray for them, intercede for them, bring wisdom and instruction to them, love and guidance through life, and if need be, maybe even laid down his own life so that they may survive. So a father, a godly father, is protective. He's protective over his children. Number four, the kingsman father is personal. Everybody say personal. You know, it's interesting. Israel had a problem with wanting to be like other nations. And because of this, they entered into a time of their life of idolatry. Now, God pronounced judgment on the children of Israel and spoke to them concerning their idolatry. In a passage where God is speaking about the worthlessness of what they were pursuing with their lives because they wanted to be like everybody else, like our kids get when they're around like their friends. They want to be like them, right? They want to be like everybody else. I remember my son when he was getting ready to graduate high school and he was going to get a job. And I told him, well, listen, if you don't go to college and you go to work, you're going to pay rent. And not only are you going to pay rent, but when you get your car, I'm not putting gas in your car. You're putting your own gas in your car. And you're getting your own insurance on your car. And whatever damage that you create to your car, you're paying for that. It's not my car. It's your car. Now, if you stay in school, I'll take care of it. I'll take care of it. Don't worry about it. But the moment you decide that you don't want to stay in school and you want to go to work and you want to make money, then your phone bill becomes your phone bill. And guess what? Your room now costs you $100 a month in rent. And he was like, $100? I was like, yeah, $100. He goes, how am I supposed to pay for that? I'm like, you got a job. What do you think is going to happen when you move out of my house? You think you're going to pay $100 in rent? Come on. Well, I'll just move in with my friends. Go for it. Move in with your friends. I can't because it's like $600. You know, I'm like, okay then. And started teaching them a little bit. Started talking to them a little bit about finances. I don't know where kids get this idea that for the rest of their life, mom and dad are going to take care of them. And that's because, you know why? Can I tell you where they get there? Well, my friend's mom and dad. I'm like, I ain't your friend's mom and dad. I'm your dad. And you're going to pay rent. You're going to pay for gas. You're going to buy insurance. But if you go to school, I got you. If you want to continue school, I got you. You don't want to continue school, you got you. And they couldn't get it. It just didn't make sense. It was like a foreign idea. And I'm like, I don't know what it is. I couldn't wait to leave when I was a kid. It feels like today they can't wait to stay. I don't know what it is. Anybody feel me on this? I don't know. I'm like, man, I was 15. I was ready to ghost. Give me a job. Let me pay for my own stuff. I need to get out of here. But today, they're like 30, 40 years old. I ain't leaving. It's $100 rent. It's easy. It's hard out there right now. I'm working 20 hours a week. Whew. It's a long day. Israel had this problem. They wanted to be like everybody else. They wanted a God. They wanted a false God. They wanted a paganistic God, a God that wasn't personal. In Isaiah 44, 18, it says, they know nothing. They understand nothing. Their eyes are placid over so they cannot see. Their minds closed so they cannot understand. And then in Jeremiah speaks to, or God speaks to Jeremiah the prophet. In Jeremiah 10, 5, he says, like a scarecrow in a melon patch, their idols cannot speak. They must be carried because they cannot walk. Do not fear them. They can do no harm, nor can they do any good. And aren't you glad that your God isn't a block of wood or a metal cross or a piece of jewelry? We serve a personal God that wants to have a personal relationship. Our God's not dead. Come on, He is alive, and He wants a personal relationship with us. And here's the amazing part of it. He gets in our stuff. He gets in our life. He knows us so well. In fact, the Bible says in Matthew 10:30, it says, and even the very hairs of your head are all numbered by God. Why? Because He knows you so well. Dads, today, you need to start getting personal with your children. Get to know who their friends are. They're not all good. Get to know who's on their social media. It's not all good. Too many bad hookups happening on social media today. Too many dangerous hookups happening on social media today. And I know a lot of dads that wish they would have been a little bit more personal. They would have dug a little bit more deeper. Well, I just want to be their best friend. God didn't create you to be their best friend. God created you to be their dad, to be their protector, to get personal with them, to love them, to be there for them. And I think that sometimes, it's hard sometimes for dads to be personal because we don't like that side of things. We're like, well, let me buy you something. Let me provide something for you. Let me take you somewhere. Let's do something fun together. But when it comes to let's get personal, man, that's a hard thing. That's for your mom. Well, talk to your mom about that stuff. Don't talk to me about that stuff. I want you to know that God's gotten personal with us. And I thank God that He's personal, that He's relational. And God's looking for us as dads to be personal with our children. Lastly, if I could have our worship team come up, a kingsman father is always there. A kingman's father is always there. Not only is it good to know that God is personal, but it's good to know that God is always present. You know, it's always good to know that your kids will always know that my dad will always be there for me. As long as you're alive, be present. Can I tell you that you can be in the same space and not be present with your children? That you could be in the same room, watching the same thing, and not be present with your children? I found myself many a times disconnecting, not being present. And it's something that I have to work on. Something that I really have to make myself work on. In fact, I love it when my wife helps me because she kicks me under the table when I disconnect. And I'm like, okay, I got to be present. I got to focus. Deuteronomy 4:7, Moses asked the people, what other nation is so great as to have their gods near them the way the Lord our God is near us whenever we pray to Him? Hebrews 13:5 quotes Deuteronomy when he says, He'll never leave us and He'll never forsake you. Psalms 46:1 says, God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in times of trouble. As a dad in here today, I want to encourage you. Number one, be a provider for your family. Don't just provide finances, but provide love. Provide encouragement. Provide the presence of Almighty God. Let them see you pursue Jesus. Be a protector. Protect your family to the best of your ability. Speak life and wisdom over their life. Teach them the scriptures. Pray over them. Discipline your children in love. Train them to be godly children. Fourthly, be personally involved in their lives. Get personal with them. And fifth, fight against being absent. They want quality of time, not quantity of time. Fight against being absent. Be there for them. Even when they mess up, be there for them. Even when they do good, be there for them. Even when they push you away, be there for them. Even when it gets hard, be there for them. Be present. Fight against being absent. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed in reverence to the Lord this morning. I know that all of us want to be good dads. And it's not easy. But it is possible. And God leaves us a beautiful book filled with instructions on how to pursue that. That doesn't mean that you won't make a mistake. It doesn't mean that you haven't made a mistake. It doesn't mean that you probably won't repeat some mistakes. But I'm here to challenge you to be the best dad that you can be. Because you're a son of God, a kingsman. You're a man that God is calling to be a father to those children. He put them in your care for a season. For a season, they're in your care. Be the best dad that you can be. And if you're a dad in this place, and this resonates with you, and there are things that you know that you got to work on, whether it be in your provision, whether it be in your security, whether it be in your teaching, whether it be in your disciplining, whether it be in being present or being personal, if that's you, and you're like, man, I got to work on some of these things because I want to be a good dad. I want to be a good father to my children. The good news is maybe you haven't been that great. You could change that today. And if that's you, would you raise your hand and say, man, I need to work on some of these things. Yep. Hands going up all over this place. Don't be afraid of being a good dad. It takes a lot of hard work. But God is the greatest example that you'll ever get. You'll ever have it. He'll always be there for you to help you walk and navigate that path. Father, over every dad in this house, I just pray that you help us to be the men that you've called us and created us to be. Lord, we're so grateful. We're so thankful for your love and your grace and your mercy. I pray, God, for the most amazing day, the most blessed day. Help us to be a good dad. Help us to be a good father. Lord, help us to be good protectors, good providers. Help us, Father, to get personal with our children. Help us, Lord God, to be present and not absent. Lord, help us to be good disciplinarians, God, to be invested in the life of our children. God, I thank you for such an amazing body of believers that would worship you in spirit and in truth. And so, Lord, I pray over this house this morning, God, that as they stand to their feet, I pray that they are blessed today. I pray, God, that they have the most amazing afternoon and that, God, you are celebrated for being the most amazing father any of us could ever ask in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Come on, give the Lord a hand.